Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Haggai and Zechariah. Who in the world are these? Two messengers, one message.
Now in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chislev, when the people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and 7 months during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous? And the south and the lowland were inhabited. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out and would not listen, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate.
And the word of the Lord is blessed. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation of speech. Let me say what's on your heart, Lord. Let me declare your truth, God, with no apologies. Let me say what it is that ears have not heard, have not entered into their heart, but it has only been revealed by your spirit, Lord. Give us then ears to hear what the spirit is saying to the church. God, you're speaking, as you told us, oh God. In Romans, God, you're moving us from guilt to glory. We are going to be without spot and without wrinkle. We're going to be prepared for that great marriage feast. So in this moment, God, as you are preparing us, what you say, let us say yes and amen to. What you declare, don't let us resist. What you have in your eternal counsel, let us search it out, God. You have much to reveal. You have much to say. You have much to do. And you want and you desire for us to be co-laborers with Christ. You desire for us to be co-laborers with Christ. Show us how to do it. Show us how to be effective. Show us how to be consistent. Show us how to be committed. Show us how to bring it to completion. Thank you for these, Father. You knew when they were going to be born. You knew how they would live. And before they were born in their mother's womb, you gave them an appointment. You gave them, Father, that which you called them to do. You made a deposit, Lord. So this day, God, what's going on, Lord, from the foundation of time that was in us, Lord, let it now come forth. Let your word draw it forth, that as Haggai and Zechariah did, let us do. As Christ, the risen one, showed us, as Peter, Paul, great, amen, first fathers, the first apologists, Lord, the first apostolic fathers, Lord, the Catherine Kuhlmans, the William Branhams, the A.A. Allens, Lord, the Billy Grahams, and then the ones that we would never call their name, that they ran, and they ran well. Show us how to do it. Show us how to do it, Lord. There's so much greater that you have for us to do. There's so much greater. So with the word that I speak today, God, let the greater begin to manifest. Let the greater begin to happen. Let us walk, God, where we've never walked before. Let us do things that we would have to say, you did it. And as we go, let our steps be ordered. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray these things. And all God's people said amen and amen. For a few moments this morning, I want to talk from the subject matter of honor God, do his work, and ensure his interests are served. Honor God, do his work, and ensure his interests are served. We'll say it one more time. Honor God, do his work, and ensure his interests are served. The beginning of the preaching today is going to sound a little bit of lack of review, because I said some of the things I'll say today. Because now the author is moving from the visions that he had seen, and they were deep, and some of them were very complex. But he's going to move from that to back to the plainness of speech, so that the hearer or those that had seen would understand that which even a child would not hear. So we need to now begin to put together, what is Zechariah writing? What has he seen? And what now are we to do with what he has said unto us? So we understand that Zechariah wrote with Haggai. We understand that. And you can stay with me, Holden, because I don't plan to be that long, but who knows what the Lord will do. All right. Zechariah, he begins to prophesy. And Nina, you can take me down just a little bit. Zechariah began to prophesy shortly after Haggai. But he would continue much longer. Zechariah picks up where Haggai leaves off, and he would begin to encourage the people, build according to God's plan. So whenever we think about Zechariah and his writings, we always have to keep in our thought pattern that he's talking about, are we building according to God's plan? Amen. I love what Elder LaShawn. Elder LaShawn, for those of you who did it not, she did an incredible, amen, parenting class yesterday. Amen. And yeah, you can clap. Amen. She did incredible. It was crazy incredible. One of the things that she started talking about is that the world is stuffing down our throat how we are to raise our children. And she even submitted that she's watching teachers where parents won't raise their children. She was talking about how now teachers are saying, this is the way I'll raise the child because the parent ain't present. It is so important for us to understand I must build my house according to God's plan. I cannot let the world dictate to me how I'm going to build my house. And let me tell you what I'm talking about, how I'm going to raise my children. You can put your children in time out all you want to, but don't bring that to my house because it don't work. Okay, y'all don't want to say nothing, amen. I'm going to believe that if I spare the rod, I'll spoil the child. Okay, y'all ain't got to say nothing. I'm going to preach anyway, all right? So you can stuff that down my throat all you want to, but I'm going to go back to Bible, book, and verse. Because I'm finding out what the world is working, giving us, telling us to do. It ain't working. So they got to come up with something else. They give us stuff to do, and they tell us this is archaic and this is played out. Don't do this. But then they give us stuff, and then when they give it to us, it don't work. And then we don't think enough to think about as for the whole landmarks. So the first thing that Zechariah is teaching us is that we got to build according to God's plan. Whether it's you're raising your children, whether it's building your marriage, whether it's going to work and working unto the Lord, whether it's our roles in the home as a father, our roles in the home as mothers, we've got to do it according to God's plan. Come on, ask your neighbor, are you doing it to God, according to God's plan? This is what Zechariah is driving home with his whole message. Israel, remnant, those of you that have come out of captivity, just build according to God's plan. And I know I'm not the only one. I figured out if you do it God's way, God always makes up the difference. So Zechariah, picking up from his contemporary Haggai, he's emphasizing building according to God's plan. There's a difference between Zechariah and Haggai. Zechariah comes a little later, about a month and a half, 2 months later, and he began to prophesy longer. Amen. So the length of his prophesying, they got the one message, but it becomes a little bit longer. Zechariah, he's not only saying build according to God's plan, but he says, if you listen now to my visions and if you listen to my dreams, I'm not just going to talk to Israel about building the temple that was to be rebuilt. I'm going to speak over into you building the temple being your body, the temple of the Lord. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Zechariah says, if you read what I said and if you understand what I said, I'm going to speak to you that you could understand how do you build your body to become the temple of the Lord. That you can glorify your God in your body. You can glorify God, amen, in your spirit. And you can glorify God in your mind. Zechariah saw a long ways off. Somebody said it when they say Zechariah saw a long ways off. I don't know if you understand this, but Zechariah saw into our day. And some of the things that Zechariah is talking about is applicable for the days that would be called the last days. Does anybody believe we're living in the last days? I can't hear you talk back to me. Does anybody believe we're living in the last days? Well, there are some things, and you're going to see as we get into chapter number 7 and we get into chapter 8, and especially we get into 12, 11, and 14, Zechariah gave us some information about this day, of how we are to live, being the people of the Most High God. He wanted us to understand how do we interact with Gentile world powers. He wanted us to understand. Now, when there are Gentile world powers, how do we act? Romans picks it up and says, now there are powers, there are rulers, and then there are my ministers. And it's something that the Christians are going to have to understand. How do we deal with world Gentile rulers? Zechariah is talking about this. How do we deal with Gentile world rulers? Most of us believe that if it's government, then we ought to submit to it. So my question on that is, so if ISIS took it over to America, should we submit to it? We'll finish that on Bible study. Because if most of us believe that we should just submit to government, then we don't believe there should have been an American Revolution. So we'd probably still be in slavery. So Zechariah begins to talk about, and we as the people of God, especially in the day that we're coming to, we're going to have to understand how to deal with Gentile world power, especially when they call us to being a one world order government. What do I do then? Are y'all still here? Are y'all still, is that too little too deep for Sunday morning? Y'all want me to come back and be a little bit more lighter? LaTanya's laughing at me. All right. Zechariah is trying to get us to understand how do we as the people of God, how do we deal with Gentile world powers? How do we identify those that God has allowed to come through authority? He says, none of them that are coming to authority to get your eye off looking for the coming Messiah. Because the government is going to be on his shoulder. Are y'all still here? He's trying to encourage us to never, never put all your hope and all your assurance in the government which you see. Because you are ambassadors. Hebrews picks it up and says, you've come into the heavenly kingdom. He's trying to get us to understand, how do we deal with world government, Gentile world power. He's trying to get us to see, to make sure you keep your eye on the Messiah, the righteous kingdom that's coming. Zechariah writes to try to encourage us to hope in a bright future. Because the path of the just is shining to a day. And I need to say this so you'll understand when I say to that perfect day, which is talking about the day when Christ would be on the throne. What is Zechariah saying? It's not complicated now, because no longer is he dealing with a man among myrtle trees. I got to walk y'all through this. He's going to make it real simple now. If you don't understand that, maybe you understood the four horns and you understood the four craftsmen. And if you didn't understand that, maybe you understood the flying scroll. And if not, the woman in the basket. And if not, maybe the four chariots. And I like Zechariah because he said, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to make it real, real plain. And I'm going to make it real, real simple, because Israel, stay with me now, I'm getting ready to get into the text, because Israel, now you spitting to me spiritual jargon. This is what Zechariah 7 is. They start asking what they call deep questions. And God has to slow them down and say, wait a minute, I need you to understand that I gave you these visions, I gave you these dreams, so you would come to the place of honoring me, of doing my work, of making sure my interests were served. All that other stuff, that ain't really what it was about. And he says it very plain, and he says it very clearly when we come to Zechariah chapter number 7. And I'll read the main part of the text. Look at verse number 8. And then I'll give you 3 points. And then I'll be finished. He says, I showed you some deep stuff to show you how rich and deep my understanding is. I showed you some dreams and visions that you would start to hunger and thirst for more of me. I showed you some things that you would identify Christ, but most importantly, I showed you what I showed you so you would begin to honor me. And after honoring me, you would begin to then do my work. You got to go back into the context of Zechariah. By now, there shouldn't be a lot of dialogue. There should be work in building the house, because that's what they were supposed to be doing. But that's not what they were doing. They were throwing out real deep questions, they thought. And I'll show you that in the text. Look at verse number 8. He said, wait a minute. He said, and the word of the Lord came into Zechariah saying, thus speak to the Lord of hosts. This is what I'm showing you, what I'm showing you. This is what I'm telling you about. He says, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion to every man, to his brethren. And oppress not the widow and not the fatherless. Don't this sound like some behaviors that he approved of? Y'all remember Tuesday night Bible study? Y'all still here? He said, this is what everything that I've been talking about, this is what it's about. He said, oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against your brother in your heart. Listen what he says. But they refused to hearken and pulled away their shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear him. Yes, they made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his by his spirit from his former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. What if everything that has happened was for the purpose of us honoring God. What if everything that God has allowed was to us to just say, Lord, whatever your work is for me to do, I'm going to work doing it. What if everything that was happening, God is trying to figure out, just trying to figure out that everything we're doing, it served his interest. That's what he's saying in Zechariah chapter number 7. Three things and I'll be done. Execute judgment. Show mercy and compassion on every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder, and they stopped their ears, and they should not hear. So what Zechariah chapter number 7 is saying, three very important things. Number one, the Lord's priests and his prophets are in agreement, and they are both speaking against hypocrisy. He was on the edge of warning them, you are about to make the same mistakes that your fathers made. The Lord's priests and his prophets are in agreement, and they're both speaking against hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 9 and 10, it says, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of the Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, wherefore the Lord, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth, their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and the fear towards me is taught by precept of men. He says they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Isn't it a tragedy when what we say out of our mouth does not match our actions? Are y'all still here? And this is what God is dealing with Israel in this text. He's saying, you saying some stuff, but your heart is far with me. You say one thing, but you do another. We're going to have to answer to questions like, how many times we sung, I love you more than anything? Because y'all know we sang that quite a bit of times around here. We sing like, I still believe, but then we live all week doubting. He's trying to speak to them, and I know some of you would love for me to go deeper, but I think if we get some simple understanding, we're going to do a whole lot better. He's trying to get them to see your words are not matching your action. Come on, married people. Come on, married people. Come on, married people. You know the truth. If she say or he say they love you, every now and then, what do you say? Show me. Too often, our actions don't match what we say. And that's hypocrisy. Lord, if you give me a job, Lord, if you just give me a job, God, I'm going to work so hard. I'm going to be there early. I'm going to stay there late. I'm talking about 2 weeks after he gave us the job, we now complaining that we got to go to work. Okay, are y'all still here? God, if you just give me some money, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving to the poor. I'm going to start looking out for those that are less, amen, than I am. Well, you got a job now. You got some money now. Let's look at your budget. Isaiah said, these people with their lips, they say one thing, but with their hearts, they are so far from me. I love the priest and the prophetic function because when it functions properly, the priestly function and prophetic function, it brings words and hearts back together. You missed it. Whenever there is a proper flowing of the priestly duty and the prophetic duty, it brings our words back in flow with our heart. That now not only do we confess we love with him more than everything, now with our actions we love him more than anything. May the Lord combine the priest and the function that we don't live hypocritical lives. I don't know about you, but I think more and more now I want to hear the Lord say, well done. I want my yea to be yea, and I want my nay to be nay. I never want the Lord to question, is he the center of my affection? God loves to see his children leave behaviors that we should not be doing. God loves to see his children doing things that pleases him and bring glory in the earth. Now, think about last 24 hours. Think about the last 72 hours. Think about the last 2 weeks. How much have our behaviors brought glory and honor to God? And absolutely, we need grace. Absolutely, we need mercy. But also, we need development and growth to the point that I now do what I'm supposed to do. I go where I'm supposed to go. I make the impact that I'm supposed to make the impact. I said if you empower me to do it, I would go do it. Now you've empowered me, I'm not going to make excuses, but I'm going to go do it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.